All right, I had mentioned a couple of weeks ago that when Paul's dealing with this, he's one of the reasons he is recommending that if you're single, now remember, it's just advice. It's just advice. And it is directed primarily due to the, he says, the present distress, the difficulties, the persecution that is going on and would be coming very strongly in the upcoming years there in Corinth. They, matter of fact, some of their number would eventually suffer martyrdom for the cause of Christ. But he also gives another advantage of remaining single. Starting in verse 32. He says, but I would have you without carefulness, without anxiety, without worry. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. All right. The point is that somebody who is single, now we're talking about generalities. You say, well, I don't know about what Paul was thinking, but I've got, and okay, we understand that. He's dealing with general principles. You can always come up with an exception. There's no such thing as, outside of math, I suppose, there's no such thing as an absolute certainty as far as it always works this way. But in dealing with generalities, somebody who is single does not have all the extra peripheral responsibilities that somebody who is married has. Somebody who is single is able to devote themselves, able, I didn't say does, I was saying able, can, devote themselves to the Lord. I mentioned last week that when my wife and I, and married, when we were dinks, double income, no kids, when we were dinks, we had more income than we have now, infinitely more time than we have now. And we look back and we thought, what did we do with it all? And if we had been more disciplined, now granted, there was a lot of things that we were able to do. When I was in youth ministry and stuff like that, I put in a lot of weeks. It was a 65, even a 70-hour work week. When we, especially early on, before we had the kids and stuff, I mean, we'd have a knock at our door, 9 o'clock Thursday night. Hey, can you guys come out and do something? with the teenagers. So impromptu activities and that sort of thing. But we were able to devote more time to that kind of thing. We were able to devote more time to the ministry. And somebody who is married has this responsibility, like, gotta take the kids to school, gotta pick them up from school, gotta take them to piano, gotta take them to violin, gotta take them to choir, gotta take them to the doctor, gotta go to the grocery store and buy a lot more than we normally would have. Our kids are eating us out of house and home right now. I think David is growing an inch a month right now. He is this much taller than his mother now. And this summer he wasn't and at his birthday in June, he was at least that much shorter. So anyway, but of course, there's the intake to offset the growth. So you have all this extra time and money that is going into these things. Plus, you have to deal with the extra cleaning, the extra cooking, the having the extra room in the house, and all these. So there's extra expenses as well as the time. And somebody who does not have a family is able to devote themselves and use that time and those resources for the things of the Lord. Now, does this mean it's wrong for somebody to be married and have those responsibilities? Absolutely not. We can go to a bunch of places in the Scripture and talk about the responsibilities, the God-given responsibilities. Paul is pointing out that with the present distress, with the circumstances that the Corinthians find themselves in, where it is actually because of the anticipation, apostolic anticipation, mind you, of coming persecution, that it is recommended that they be single, because can you imagine, you know, here you got this married couple, they love one another dearly, and the husband is hauled off to be burned at the stake, or even the wife being fed to the lions. Or, as was happening I don't know if this happened so much in Rome, it did happen a few times. In other circumstances, where they kill the children before the parents to get them to recant. If somebody does not have family, that is, because it's just a heart-wrenching thing to deal with. If you only have to worry about yourself, it is much easier to deal with. It is a much, much easier thing to deal with. And so he's also adding some additional things, the idea that they don't have divided responsibilities. They careth for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Now, I'm going to use Ken Jones as an example because he's not here. I would use him anyway. But here's an example. All right, Ken is an old single fella. I didn't use the word old. Don't tell him that. A year and a half ago, our water line sprung a leak, and it was old. It was original. We had a 40-something-year-old galvanized, at least it was galvanized at one time, pipe that ran in from the street. And I thought, great, I got to dig this thing up. Now, fortunately, I live in the valley, so I don't have to deal with rocks. But I've got to dig this thing up and replace it. I made one phone call. Who did I call? I called Ken. I knew that Ken, if he wasn't working, would be free. And Ken has also the attitude that I'm here to help. And he has the time to do this kind of thing because he has the advantage he doesn't have a family to deal with. And Leo, and there's probably a number of you around the room that could tell the same thing, that I had something that needed to be done. I had a tree that needed to be pruned. I had some yard work that needed to be done. I needed an extra hand to help with this project. And Ken was able and willing to come and put himself into that because he doesn't have these extra things that are on his plate. I know that, I love Leo. Leo's a good friend. Leo would if he could, but I know that most of the time if I call Leo, he can't. Because there's additional things going on. And the same thing's true regarding me. I've got, now, if you have an emergency, please call. Please call. I'm not saying don't call me. Because one of the advantages of my schedule is I do have some measure of flexibility with it. But it is a busy schedule. And so there's an advantage to the unmarried. He's able to focus on how he may please the Lord, how he may serve. But look at, let's go back to our verse here. Look at verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. And then if you look down at the end of verse 34, But she, so we had he in verse 33, she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, when we're talking about the world, most of the time in the scripture it has a negative context. Talk about the world system. That is not what it's referring to here. We're talking about temporal necessities. When I was a bachelor, I can look at the three places that I lived as a bachelor. Only one of them was suitable for a married guy. A bachelor can live in a refrigerator box if need be. Guys don't have this extra stuff that they need. A guy, unless he's got a whole pile of stuff, a guy can live in a studio apartment and be quite content with it. If he's married, uh-uh. I remember I had a professor in college that was talking about preparations for marriage and the anticipations of this, you know, because you got all these guys that are, yeah, I got to get married because I'm going to the ministry and I have to have a wife. Okay, slow down. Just take it easy because here's some things you need to consider. The old adage that two can live as cheaply as one is true, and you've heard me say this, that two men can live as cheaply as one woman. And if a fella is going to get married, his outlay is going to double, even though we're dealing with one housing unit, because there's extra things that go with that. I think sometimes a guy, especially if he gets married young, gets into this and he assumes that she's going to be like him. Surprise, surprise, okay? It's not the same thing. It isn't like, you know, oh, I'm just changing roommates. It doesn't work that way. So there's extra responsibilities. When he says a man has things of this world, we're talking about he has to deal with finances. He has to have an income sufficient to be able to support the wife. Now, I know that in our modern culture, the last generation or so, it has been anticipated, expected, almost demanded that you've got two breadwinners in a house. The biblical mandate, this is not popular these days, is that the guy be the guy who brings home the bacon. Now, you can go through the scripture and the wife to augment income. See the Proverbs 31 lady. She's involved in property transactions. She makes things to be sold to the merchant. All right, that's fine. But the primary breadwinner ought to be, if possible, the man. It's his responsibility. Well, what's the wife's responsibility? When Paul talks about keepers at home, he's not saying that she has to be the barefoot and pregnant one who is always involved in a craft and does a lot of sewing and is a gourmet cook and all these little things like this. I know a guy who has a wife like that. Hey, fine, God bless you. But I have a wife. She can cook. She can't sew. All right, that's all right. but she's a great cook. That is the main thing. Now, we've gotten out of that, but that's the way God set it up. And women, if they have the choice, most women prefer that. They won't necessarily verbalize it, but that's what they want. This is why the Hollywood crowd begins to notice that the clock is ticking, and what do they want to do? They want to have families. As much as they wanted to promote their careers earlier, they can't. They recognize the fact that there's this inner longing because God put it there. So a man has the responsibilities of providing finances for this. He has to be able to support a family. He has to deal with the housing issue. Yeah, he had his little loft apartment over someone's garage, and that was fine for him, but it probably isn't going to work if he's going to get married. He needs to get himself an apartment or a house. And what women want, guys want basic stuff. They want the same stuff that a dog wants. Seriously. You look at the basic needs of a dog, and that's what a man needs. I'm as serious as can be. Yes, absolutely. All right. A woman's responsibilities are more complex, and she needs the security of knowing where her next meal is going to come from. She needs the security of having a place that is hers, ideally, and all these extra things, whereas a guy just says, you know, hey, I just need this, I'm ready to go. And a fella generally is easier to please, or at least cheaper to please, than a woman is. And so there's these extra responsibilities, the finances, the housing, and then when the children come. I have a cousin who's been married for, I think, 8-10 years. He and his wife don't plan ever on having children, which I think is a shame. But they'll regret it when they get in their 50s and 60s. But the point is that they are able to, and we have some other friends that are like this, that are probably getting to be too old to have children and don't plan on having. They've been married for a long time. But they're able to do things. They travel and they go to exotic places on vacation like Thailand. And they go to all these fancy places and are able to, go out to eat twice a week, and they can have a big home, but they're missing out on a God-given, frankly, it's a responsibility as a married couple. I won't marry a younger couple, don't have any kids. You plan on having any children? No, we don't want to have children. I'm not going to marry them. One of the God-ordained purposes of marriage is to procreate, to have children. And if you say, no, we don't have any children. Do either of you have any children now? No, we don't have any children. You're not planning on having any? Go find somebody else. I'm not doing it. So you have the children, and then you have the responsibility of in-laws. One of the things that I'm thankful that I don't think this is as big a problem as it was 10-20 years ago. At least in my observation, might be the circle of people I run with, that children will often abdicate their responsibility of caring for their older family members. They don't care for mom and dad when mom and dad get to be older. It is a God-given responsibility. Why did I go to Michigan this week? Now, my mom's in good shape, but why did I go to Michigan? To honor my mother. I went because I love my mom, but I also went because I considered it a responsibility. My dad's going to be turning 70 in July, and that's going to be a little bit more complicated because it's not quite as simple a task. But my brother and I are actually conspiring about the possibility of doing the trip for my dad's 70th birthday, again, for the same purpose. But there's a responsibility there. And when somebody's married, you have twice as many parents as you started with. So I don't have to just deal with mom and dad. I got to deal with Larry and Sandy too, which is extra responsibility, which is extra money, which is extra time, which is all these. Okay. So marriage brings all those extra responsibilities into it. They are a blessing. I enjoy that. I don't begrudge that or chafe under that, but it does require a lot of extra time and it requires extra money that a bachelor or bachelorette does not have to deal with. Now, some of that stuff they do. That just does not, you still have to deal with your parents, but you only have one set instead of two. So, extra responsibilities regarding that. And then also pleasing the wife. Okay? Husband's responsibility, pleasing the wife. How am I going to please my wife? Now, we have the cultural things that the Hallmark Company have tossed our way. That, there has to be the sweet, sappy card. Or if you have a relationship like Aaron and I have, you get the really hilarious card, and then you might toss the sappy card in there as a side thing. But the hilarious one is the one you're really shooting for. There's the mandatory flowers, probably once a year. Have you had any this year? No? Kids brought you dandelions.
That's right.
Okay. I picked some of that stuff in the backyard, brought it in. And the special things you do, you know, there's the companionship, there's intimacy involved, there's stuff. I like to go to thrift stores. I really do. I love because there's treasures to be found. And one of the things that I look for when I go to the thrift stores, we have three sets of dishes at my house. We have a real fancy high-end thing that we inherited from our grandmother, which stay in a cupboard and I pulled out once a year perhaps.
You won't let me use them. Don't use that.
Don't use that. We have another set that's nice. Use the other set that's nice. So we have a second set that's pretty nice and we use those for Thanksgiving and Christmas and that sort of thing. And then we've got our day-to-day dishes. Now, I don't believe we've had any breakage in the two fancy sets, but the day-to-day dishes, of course, we got them as a wedding gift. We've been married for 18 and a half years. Wow. And we've had breakage over the years, not in the relationship, but in dishes. And so a guy, when I was a bachelor, I had about five or six different plates. None of them matched. I had, you know, three or four forks, three or four knives, three or four spoons. None of them matched. And that was fine. I had some pots and pans I picked up different places. None of them matched. Didn't make any difference. And if something got stuck to the bottom because the Teflon was all gone, and if something got stuck to the bottom, I just throw it away and go to the thrift store and buy another $2 pot. But the woman must have her set of this or set of this or set of this because it's expected. And so, again, you have to deal with stuff. Your furniture ideally ought to match. The curtains. A guy said, curtains? Just get some thumbtacks and put a sheet up there. Some of you know guys like this. Some of you guys were guys like this. But when you get married, there's these extra things that go with the fact that you're married to a woman. And so, extra things and the security of having the home and the whole bit. So a man has a divided focus. Now, are these things regarding his relationship with his wife? Are those, is that sin? Is that waste? No. Those are things that really are part of the relationship. They are part of your God-given responsibility. But they do take time and money, which if a single guy, you got a single guy, doesn't have to deal with that stuff. The single guy can have his stack of dishes that don't match and have his mixed silverware and all this other stuff because big deal, it works. And he's mostly entertaining other guys who think big deal, it works. I know you get some guys that are really picky about this kind of thing, but those are not the kind of guys I'd hang out with anyway. So there's that that security and that need. Now look at the end of verse 34. The unmarried woman careth, or the middle of it, the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. And it's the same thing true with a guy. That she may be holy, and I'll come back to that word, both in body and in spirit. Now, we are not dealing with worldliness as opposed to holiness. That is not the contrast. The idea of holiness has a number of different meanings. And the primary idea here in this part is separated to something. When you see the idea of holiness or sanctification or separation in the scripture, remember, there's no such thing as a free agent. Not even technically in baseball. All right. We are not free agents. We belong to someone. We are devoted to some cause, whether we recognize it or not. And a married person has his responsibilities, family responsibilities. But somebody who is single, holy, means separated to what? What's it say in the text there? Separated to what? Verse 34. Be holy both in body and in spirit, that she cares for the things of the Lord.
To the Lord.
She has an undivided focus. He has an undivided, let me change that, can have. One of the things that we wrestle with, especially in our country, not culture, and I don't suppose it was really a whole lot different in Corinth, is that I have all this time and money. And people with time and money, even born-again Christians, generally will end up using it for self as opposed to devoting it to the Lord. I have come across a number of godly, single Christians that were able to take that extra time and money and put it into the things of the ministry. When I was a high schooler and a college young man, there was a man in my home church in Michigan named Mike Kelly. Mike Kelly, godly man, professional fellow. He was a chemist, made a good living, had a nice home, but he had time. And so he used that in ministry. He was a busy guy at church. He was a busy, busy guy at church. Why? Because he could. He was involved in the singles ministry. He was involved in children's ministry. And guy was just a phenomenal, godly believer who was able to devote that, and still is, able to devote that extra time and money to the ministry. But a lot of guys will devote it to hobbies or building of wealth for the sake of building of wealth. You're not going to leave it to anybody. I've got some nephews. Are you close to them? No, not really. Then why are you pursuing this with all your might? Well, I just like it. And career. And so I'm not saying there's anything wrong with making a lot of money as long as it does not become the center of your focus and the center of your passion. If you are able and willing to use it for the glory of God, then by all means do so. I'm familiar, I don't know if it's still around, but when I was going to and from college, there was a place in Ohio, there was an office building, and they had a big campus, big spread of lawn. You probably had 100 yards of lawn, and then you had parking lots, and there was a building over here, and then there was another building over here. And it was a business owned by two Christian brothers. And these guys did not drive new cars. They drove 10 and 15-year-old, reliable, middle-of-the-road cars. They took home a middle-class income. Probably they had workers that took home more than they did. Almost certainly they did. And the net proceeds of that business went into ministry needs. Christian guys that had an ability to make a lot of money and devoted it to the things of God. And that's not that unusual. There's a number of other operations like that in the United States. But I remember that being something that stood out to me. And I think I had a Bible verse on a big, nicely done, out on the lawn as you drove by it on I-75 going through Ohio. So, available to the Lord. More time for service, more resources to give. They are not being used up for other things. And undivided. Don't have mixed responsibilities. He is separated to the Lord. He is devoted. She is devoted to the Lord and does not have as many obligations. And of course, we were dealing with the husband pleasing the wife. And we saw at the end of verse 34, how the wife may please the husband. Maintaining the household is a God-given responsibility. Some guys are a little uneasy about letting the wife take care of the finances. If she's capable of doing it, by all means, that's part of it. You go back to Proverbs 31, lady, and it seems to be an indication that she takes care of the household finances. Why? It makes a lot of sense because she's the one that's doing the spending. Maintaining the household, rearing the children. If he's the breadwinner, somebody's got to look after the kids and not to be a stranger if you can avoid it. Rearing the children. And the motive for this advice, look at verse 35. Again, this I speak for your own profit, for your own benefit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you. This is a very interesting phrase. He says, I'm not trying to lasso you. The word there is actually to throw a noose, to put a noose around somebody. So he says, I'm not trying to lasso you into forcing you to do something. It's not by compulsion. This is simply advice. This is counsel to the Corinthians dealing with their current situation, but also giving the rest of us who are not necessarily in a position where we're enduring persecution and so on, but deal with the fact that we have God-given responsibilities and also where our priorities ought to be. Because some of us love our stuff a lot, and some of us love our careers a lot, and some of us love our hobbies a lot. And I think that very often, and here's one that speaks as one who is guilty, that we devote too much time and too much money to the things that we enjoy as opposed to the things that are necessary. But the goal here, verse 35, that we may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And it can't be phrased better than that. All right, any questions or comments? All right, now let me back up a little bit. Just remind, marriage is a God-ordained institution. That is why there's women and why there's men. All right, and we're not all one gender. All right, so God ordained marriage. He is stressing the benefits of being single if God has given you that gift. All right, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that we would gain the things that we need to gain and apply these things to our lives. Give us grace and understanding and the recognition of where those things need to come in our lives. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.